Hello, everyone. Sandow Podcast 41. We have been burning fast this past weekend, mostly because of the delegates that have been announced just a few days ago. There are 12 of them, and we've been trying to interview as many as we can so that everyone has an idea of who the delegates are and so they can start delegating and we can make quorum an issue of the past. Today, we have the intern, also known as the Hidden Walls, who is in the delegate page. It'll be the top right, so the first one showing. And we're going to be interviewing him today from Singapore. And yeah, welcome, the intern.
Hello, everyone. And good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm very happy to have you. Today is about a meet and greet with intern and a learning opportunity so that we can all understand how intern wishes to be a delegate, what intern intends to do, and all the fun things that can help you decide if the intern is the right delegate for you. So disclaimer, intern and I do not represent the Sandbox Game or the Sandbox DAO Foundation. We are not your financial or legal advisors. Nothing we say is to be taken as financial or legal advice. When we say the word SIP, we're talking about Sandbox Improvement Proposal. When we say the word DAO, we mean Decentralized Autonomous Organization. And when we say the word SANFAM, we mean Sandbox Community, who participate in the people, product, and purpose of the Sandbox ecosystem. The Sandbox ecosystem has all of these different things, many, many different careers, functions, products, all weaving together to create that ecosystem. And today, we're focusing in on the DAO delegate, which is one such person, an entity within the people sector of the ecosystem. Specifically, we're looking at the intern, also known as the Hidden Walls, as you might read it on the delegation page. So the scoreboard and checkbook have not moved. We're still at 2.3 million spent of our 15.5 million budget, which is roughly 15%. And we're still at 15 SIPs, 9 having been approved, 6 having been not approved. All of them were not approved because of quorum, which we hope intern will help make that a thing of the past.
I hope so too.
So the road to the DAO, the three things that really matter for today is on May 28th, the DAO was announced via the Medium article. On September 10th, the Sandbox DAO opens up delegation applications. I, like many others, applied, and we know that there are many, many applications. So the fact that the intern is here today just speaks to the caliber that the DAO admin team expects that that intern will bring, and that we all pretty much know if you've been here and you've seen the way the intern has participated in the community, this should not be a surprise to you. And then November 13th, 12 delegates were announced just 5 days ago. Five, 4 days? Something like that. So let's get straight. Go ahead, intern.
Yeah, it's about a week since the announcement.
Yeah, since the announcement, it's been a flurry. And if you have any questions for intern, please post them in chat. I will put them on the community questions, which we'll get to toward the latter half of this podcast. And I'm Lanzer. I'm the podcast host. I'm also president of the Metaworlds Group. We have two experiences, one called Lava Defense. The second is Floor Droppers, which is currently in Alpha Season 4. But I'm not the only one with something in Alpha Season 4. Isn't that right, intern?
Right, right. So right now, then Siege Defense, Wrath of the Titans is the featured experience for the day. For the next, another 12 more hours to go.
That's right. So let's see if we can pinpoint it on the map here. You are at the top. No, not there. Scene. No, there's so many. I can't see them because of the...
Now.
Where are you? Are you in the...
I'm at the bottom right.
Bottom right.
Yeah. You mean at the center of the map? Right?
No,
the center. Or do you mean the original location?
Don't see it yet. You're here somewhere, though.
It appears on my map, though. Can you see Deja Vu?
Deja Vu.
Deja Vu is south side. And then I'm like two parcels to its left.
I can't. Oh, there we go. I can get in more now. I'm having the toughest time finding it. I really should have asked you beforehand.
But we're talking about the center of the map.
Right? Oh, there it is. Zero, the biggest, 2x2. Right? Deja vu 2?
Yeah, deja vu 2, and then I'm like to its west.
Wrath, there we go. That's the one. Siege defense.
Yeah.
So that siege defense is the one that was just released, wasn't it? It's probably in the sandbox daily right now. But congratulations. Yes. So you're also part of Deja Vu. I didn't notice that.
Oh, no. I'm not part of Deja Vu. I'm just using it.
Oh, yes, the last one. Okay, so point. Here it is.
Yeah.
The Intern X, which we'll get to in the voting history or the sandbox profile question. But Wrath of the Siege Defense, right there, that is Intern. So congratulations. We are, I think it's 35-25 of over 1,000 experiences. Interns was selected to be in Alpha Season 4. That's a major accomplishment.
Wait, 1,000? I did not know there were so many.
There are over 1,000 experiences. Yeah. Whoa. I know. And the funny thing is, the Builders Challenge 1, I'd calculate that there was 482 that were announced. But now there's over 1,000. Since Builders Challenge 1. So that I'm not sure about the numbers, but that's what I hear Seb and others say on podcasts, so I believe them when they say it. Where am I? Floor Dropper's right there, smack dab in the middle. It's easy to lose, little one by one.
I see it. It's not easy to lose.
Yeah, totally right dwarfed there, by Wrath of the Siege Defense, but I'm so happy for you, Intern. Alright, so back to... Let's get into... Known as the Hidden Walls, but also known as many others. Intern, could you please give us your background and introduce yourself?
Okay, so hi everyone, I'm the intern at the Hidden Walls. I will explain that later on. My background, I bought my first crypto in late 2020. I think it was in December 2020. And then in August 2021, me and my wife started a PFP project together. After that, she moved on to drawing digital art while I moved on to the metaverse space during the whole metaverse hype when Facebook changed its name to Meta. I started off in Decentraland in early 2022 as a participant, and then after a while, I started getting involved in their DAO. A few months in, I became a sole author of a governance proposal that was successfully implemented as well. And then in 2023, I moved on to the sandbox. And so here I am right now. As for the names, so there is this whole thing about me being the intern, whether I'm the Hidden Walls, or whether I'm 1010 in Discord. So all three, they are all related. The Hidden Walls is kind of like the main brand. It's also what, so it's essentially the main brand. And then I go by the name The Intern, and my wife goes by the name Mama Hen. So if you do see either one and they are related to the Hidden Walls, we are essentially the same team.
What was the second one? Did you say Mama what?
Yeah, Mama Hen.
Mama Hen.
Yes. Horny, right?
Yeah, I didn't even know that one.
Yeah. Well, because it's corny, so I tend to leave her introduction to her.
So Mama Hen is who?
Is the wife.
Okay, got it. And what's 1010?
1010 would be my original in-game name in Decentraland. So because when I first started out in Discord, it was because of wanting to immerse myself in a community in Decentraland. So I had that name, I used it in Discord as well, and it has been that ever since.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Okay, so do you have any other names that we need to know about?
Not that I know of, but I will let you know if I do.
Okay, so The Hidden Walls is your name and brand. Is that like the studio?
Kind of, yes. You can call that the studio name.
And then The Intern is your main name that you go by?
Yes.
Mama Hen is your wife, and 1010 is your original name that you carried over from Decentraland.
Correct.
Okay.
Also, makes another clarification, I'm not exactly an intern. It's just, you know, with the whole Twitter and X, and, you know, the intern is always up to no good, right? So I carry that name.
Oh, because of its availability?
Yeah. And also, like, you know, you always see the intern posting, like, nonsense. And that's kind of like what I was also going for, because I prefer my persona to be something that is a bit more, you know, mischievous, a little more relaxed in terms of the content, not so serious.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, The Intern / 1010 / The Hidden Walls, thank you very much for explaining that to us.
My pleasure.
So you became Sand Fan in August 2021. Oh, I'm sorry, not August 2021. It was after that, after the PFP.
Yes, yes. So 2022 was Decentraland. And 2023 is the Sandbox. So I started off, I think, in 2023 Q3. I think it was September. And the big reason was because at that point in time, there was a land sale. There was a Lion City land sale. Singapore is known as the Lion City.
I did not know that.
Targeted. Yeah, right. So the Lion City land sale was mainly targeted at it's Singapore and the neighboring audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I participated in that land sale and land auction as well. And then from it, I actually got to know quite a lot of local creators, players, even the Sandbox staff as well. The guys and ladies who are involved actively in maintaining the Sandbox ecosystem in Southeast Asia.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And this was in September 2023, was a Lion City land sale?
Yes.
Okay, and that's when you became SandFam.
Yes. Actually, all right. I kind of like started off earlier in season one.
Oh.
Yeah, during when season one began, right, I actually did start playing.
As a player, at that point in time,
the motion was a little choppy. Sure. So it gave me motion sickness.
So as a player in season one, and then as a landowner, You deepened your involvement in September 2023.
Yes.
All right. Makes sense. I did not know Singapore was known as the Lion City. That's awesome. Let me make sure I write that down.
It's a really small country. Yeah. So we have to give it
give it something, right? Got a lot
something
of
to remember.
A lot of teeth. Big teeth. Big power.
Yes, big teeth. Loud roar.
Yeah. It was y'all's Independence Day not too long ago.
Yeah, it's a relatively young country. We gained independence in 1965. So comparatively to everyone else, I would say that we are kind of like a new kid in the block.
Yeah, Dr. Loretta Chin and I spoke a bit about that. I interviewed her on Independence Day for Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so cool. That is so cool. All right.
Right.
So let's go into your Sandbox experience. I looked up your profile and I saw a litany, a whole load of stuff, which, knowing your involvement, is not a surprise, but I saw 38 experiences, 38, with over 400 assets, Intern. Uh-huh. That is ridiculous.
Okay,
so I'm not surprised to see one of them in Alpha Season.
Sorry?
said, I'm not surprised to see one of them in Alpha season, but walk me through 38 experiences.
Yeah, that has got to be a record, right? Okay, in my defense, when I started out as a builder, it started out recreationally, and it still is recreational for me. I build games as a form of stress reliever. And many other games, I wouldn't say on the scale of like Siege Defense and One Last Chance, right? They are kind of like my flagship experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, most of the other ones are mini games, or they are some of it are like templates that are modified to practice on certain mechanics, you know, some things that is just experimental to see how things work in the game builder, the game maker. And then when you publish it, because, you know, we all know that when you're using the game maker versus using the client itself, right? The experience can be very different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that explains pretty much why I have 38. I would say out of the 38, maybe half of them are playable in a sense. The rest are kind of like in the initial, or it's still, you know, I'm still building them out.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. while you were speaking, I had Wrath of the Titans playing on silent, so everyone could see the trailer.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, looks good. Looks very good. I can
thank you.
All of the different lessons you learned. I can't even hold a candle to something like this. I normally get someone else, or I have a partner developer to help me.
Just give instructions, right?
Right. I'm the creative designer. Like, I know what I want it to look like, and then we talk through the mechanics.
Uh-huh.
I'll help place a block here and there, or like do a little bit of stuff.
I see.
But
okay.
Yeah,
I mean, works, right?
What's that?
That works, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So, one last chance. Tell me about that one. What's the story behind that one?
So, essentially, when I first thought of what were the genres that I would like to dwell in, I knew as a beginner game maker, it would be very difficult for me to enter into a space that's saturated. It's hard to get seen by anybody. You know, everybody would have played a game that's far better than mine. So, the two genres that I realized at that point in time in late 2023, right, that was still not explored were casino, right, gambling, and also RPG, you know, hack and slash. So those were the two that got me started on One Last Chance, which is a casino experience. It dwells a lot in RNG, or random what we call random number generator. So essentially, if you bet, say, 100, you can either get back $25 or you can get 200, which is 2x.
Gotcha.
So the element of, you know, the RNG, the luck factor, I feel it's something that, you know, it's worth exploring into.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going through we're watching the trailer right now. So it looks like you hit play, mm-hmm. and then you put in the amount that you want to wager. And then it resolves.
Yep.
Resolves the hand. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So we're good on that one. So I think we have a pretty good idea of your background now, and the why there are so many names. our first question.
You said that, I hope.
No, it makes complete sense. I get it. You have a storied history in this, not just only one metaverse, but also, as we're about to get into, what was your motivation for applying to be a delegate?
So, coming in from experience, I feel like when I started off in the Sandbox DAO, it feels like I was in the Decentraland DAO in the beginning. You know, so throughout the whole experience, you see a lot of hiccups, you see a lot of things that some would call injustice. And I feel like, you know, a lot of all these mistakes could have been resolved if someone with relevant experience comes in, shows the way. And I thought, you know, why not me in the sandbox now? There are a lot of pitfalls that we can hopefully avoid. The same mistakes that happened in Decentraland, you know, hope to not have it happen in the sandbox as well. That will be my core reason why I applied for Delegate.
So kind of like be the change you want to see in the world and be the solution, not the problem.
Exactly. It is.
Huh, yeah. Makes sense. And some of those things that some might call injustice, are you still seeing that as something you want to address?
As of now, because there are... okay, so the way Decentraland DAO runs versus the Sandbox DAO runs is pretty different. The Sandbox DAO, I believe the whole DAO model is derived similar from the way ApeCoin DAO runs, where they have the special counsel, you know, you have the advisory board that's there to kind of get what experiences, proposals go through and what don't. But else for Decentraland DAO, it's a whole different game. They allow practically anyone to come up with a proposal. No editing, you know, it's the onus is all on the author itself.
In Decentraland, it's like that?
Yes, it is. So you can literally, right now, create an account, go on Decentraland DAO, post a poll, right? If the poll says, if your project or proposal says, look, I want $1,000 to build an experience, people will vote. They'll go through the poll first, and then a draft, and then governance proposal. If it passes governance proposal, you get your grant.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Wow, that is very different from us.
It is very different. So you know, there is, in a sense, it's good because there's nobody gating, but it's also bad because nobody's gating.
Got it. And when you talked about the injustice, you were referring to the Decentraland?
Sorry, again?
When you referred to injustice earlier, were you talking about Decentraland?
Yeah. Mainly, yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Say that again.
Mainly, yes.
Mainly, yes. Okay, got it. But a little bit, maybe, in the sandbox style that you wanted to be the change.
Yes. So I think that, so far, in terms of the SIPs itself, I don't see a huge injustice, which means that the DAO team is actually doing a really good job. I understand that there has been a couple of proposals that were dropped along the way. So those, you know, I guess we'll never know.
Got it.
That's where the transparency comes in.
But you want to make sure it doesn't happen here.
Yes. As minimally as possible. I wouldn't dare say that, you know, we can, the sandbox style will be all great and perfect, and then there will be no corruption, there will be no favoritism and all that. But, you know, as much as we can, hopefully with all 12 delegates, we can pursue an impartial system.
Got it. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Makes sense. So let's look then at your voting history, which only shows the sandbox style. So didn't you say that you were a proposal author of Decentraland?
Yes. So the thing is that because I actually own quite a bit of land on both. So I actually own land in Decentraland, in the sandbox, and in the other side as well. So it's mainly metaverse related. Metaverse related.
Metaverse related. Got
it. I keep them all in separate wallets.
Got it. Okay. So you were a proposal author that was successful in Decentraland?
Yes.
Wow. Nice.
Thanks.
And for sandbox style, it looks like you did vote on, oh, there's 14. It says 14, but I saw that you also voted on the 15th. I think it might just be like a snapshot error.
A glitch, right?
Yeah. But you did vote on all 15.
Yes, I believe I did.
And it looks like you voted a mixtures of mostly yes, but also you were no stranger to no's and abstains.
Yeah. Whenever needed, it's when I don't feel comfortable with certain proposals, or if I do not know enough, I will either vote no or abstain. No, if it's something that, you know, I feel that, okay, look, the proposal is clear cut, I can't agree with that, so it's a no. Abstain will be when I feel like I don't have enough information. So I wouldn't dare vote yes or no, hence abstain.
So you abstain when you don't have enough information, you will vote no when you don't agree.
Yes.
Okay. There we go. There's our grading rubric.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's. I'm going to file that away for later because I know there's another question that builds off of that.
Sure.
Where are you? Oh, there we go. That one. Okay. And in your delegate description, you list three things that you're going to represent people if they choose you as their delegate. Prioritizing progress, yes. Protecting the treasury, and make unpopular votes. Let's hit the first one. What, when you prioritize the progress of the ecosystem's future, what SIPs are and what SIPs aren't doing that?
So I would say that a guiding principle for me in terms of prioritizing what the progress of the ecosystem, I would say that any initiatives that contribute to the enhancement of the end user's experience within Sandbox, primarily in-game, but also in real life, would be considered the progress. And more importantly, it also comes with a reasonable budget.
Okay. And do you have any sort of idea what reasonable means there?
So I think it depends on individual projects. It's hard to pinpoint what, you know, reasonable is considered across the board. Because, for example, when you're creating experiences, if it's a one-by-one experience, you wouldn't be paying an author, say, $250,000. That would be beyond a reasonable budget. Likewise, okay. If you're holding an in-real-life event, you know, it costs more logistics, manpower, and all that kind of stuff, so you expect to pay more. So yeah, I think it really goes into a case-by-case basis.
Okay. I get it. Now that makes sense. And can you think of any SIPs right now that do not meet that definition of progress of the ecosystem's future?
So far, I don't think there is any, but we'll have to see in the future. I think so, in terms of, like I said, gating what proposals come up for voting, mm-hmm. The DAO team has done a fantastic job in filtering out proposals that may not benefit the sandbox as much.
Okay. So you'd say that all of them right now that you've seen are progressing, are progress of the ecosystem future?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so what the biggest question in my brain right now is, for what about the ones you voted no against?
So voted no could be for a number of reasons. Let me have a look.
One you voted no for was staking budget.
Staking budget. Oh yeah. So with staking budget, honestly, if you ask me, the only reason why I voted no for staking budget is because I find that staking, it doesn't feel like there is a direct, it doesn't directly help in the progress of the sandbox ecosystem. I feel that the budget that's allocated for staking can be allocated to active projects that will directly contribute to the you know, to the ecosystem, rather than just giving off because people are staking their sand and then.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
And another one was, you voted no on SIP 1, introducing the Sandbox DAO, which at that point in time, I mean, we were all trying to figure out what was happening.
Right. So, I mean, okay. So the thing is with the Sandbox DAO, SIP 1, you kind of, or at least for me, right, I kind of expected that there would be this confusion, especially yeah. from where they were starting off from. Most people, I would say, who are introduced to the Sandbox DAO will be very enthusiastic. You will see, okay, look, this is new, this is something novel, we are moving ahead with something that is on the Sandbox white paper for the longest time. And so, you know, I would expect that people would want to push this forward. But then again, as I look through the proposal, you know, you notice a lot of issues, such as, like, there was no public consultation with the community. There were no, I wouldn't say that there is any prominent community members that were on board.
Yeah.
That would be not, I wouldn't say it's a red flag, but maybe a brown one. Yeah. So it's all those little nitty gritty details, right, that were missed, that I feel like it was also a missed opportunity to start off in a better foot.
Yeah. That's a really good way to put it. It seemed like a missed opportunity. It wasn't that it was bad or wrong. It just felt like a missed opportunity. I like that word a lot.
Yeah, so the thing is that I don't feel that there were ill intentions when the DAO team, along with the Sandbox team, when they came up with the proposal. I'm pretty sure they wanted to kickstart this whole process solid ground with people who... across the board in not just the Sandbox ecosystem, but in the crypto space, they are well known. So these are names that, you know, the who's who of, you know, the crypto ecosystem are there. Yeah, but I feel like, you know, it could have done better with personal touch, with community members involved, with the community being engaged prior to all this happening.
Got it. Okay. And for the last three, no, that makes complete sense. I'm with you. And I've heard a lot of the community reflect the same sentiment. Some express it a little bit angrier than that. Others, you know, vote by not voting. But I think that's exactly a right. middle so ground that's like, fair.
You realize, you know, once this starts, you know, it really goes in all directions.
Yeah. It can
Everyone has a different way of interpreting stuff. They have a different reaction.
Okay, and the last three, when you said you vote abstain, it means you don't have as much information. So 15, 14, and 12, all of them were you voted abstain. I'm sorry, 15, 14, 13. Correct. And what about those proposals? Did you not feel you had information?
So honestly, some of it I feel indifferent. Like, for example, SIP, let's see, we get from... Was it 13 that I voted?
13 was run a visibility feasibility study for NFT evolution. That was the NFT drops.
So, honestly, I have not much idea as to what the author is intending to do. I kind of get what he's trying, the rationale behind it, but beyond that, I don't exactly have a good idea of what's going on beyond in terms of execution and all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you voted abstain on mine in turn.
Yes, right. I know. How could I vote abstain? But okay. Yeah. In my defense, you were leading.
You don't have to defend yourself at all.
You're leading a number of yeses.
I promise. You don't have to defend yourself against me. I was just wondering, no. Was it unclear what I was asking for?
No. I actually, honestly, when I saw that, it's just, I feel like it's something that would have been executed by the Sandbox team.
It's
probably the reason. Yeah, you know, so the better way would have been like going straight to them with the feedback. So it was not a no. It was just something that I feel, you know, in terms of the approach, like it could have been directly with the Sandbox team.
No, that's fair. That is a fair point to make. And what about the metaverse and disability?
Same thing. I have not enough information for what the author is about or intends to execute. So I wouldn't say yes or no on that.
Okay. And so I did podcasts on all of them. Were they too long form? What it was about that?
Sorry, I didn't catch the last sentence because it kind of chopped off.
Yeah, I did podcasts on all of them when I asked them questions. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about how that flow? Do I take too long, or am I just not visible, or is it not relevant?
Okay, if you ask me, maybe it's a little long. Okay. So it's hard to capture like key points for
sure.
It.
Sure. That's a fair thing to say too. Yeah. That's a fair thing to say.
Because I don't know if you realize it, but in this generation of stuff, right, everything is short form. It's like, you know, get to the point.
Yeah.
People want information in the first minute.
That's
fair. They want to know what they're talking about in order in the first 1 to 2 minutes.
Well, I appreciate that feedback. With my current sit for the Sandbox DAO, or the Sandow podcast, I mean, I want to hire some people to make the key points videos, because I'm just not gifted in that area. I like the long form like we're doing right now, but I can understand that it's not very digestible when it starts getting upwards, like 1, 2, 3 hours even, some of mine have been.
Yes.
No, I get it. I get it. I think that's a very fair thing to say. Well, thank you for the feedback. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
No worries. That's how we all improve, right?
Yeah.
If there's no feedback, we will never know what's wrong and what's right, what we're doing wrong, what we're doing, you know, what needs to be improved.
So number two aspect in your description says protecting the treasury. How do you interpret when you use the word prudence and sensibility? What does that mean?
So in terms of protecting treasury, right, I'd say that, okay, let's maybe break down what, you know, the DAO, the two components, or at least this is the way I view the Sandbox DAO, right? There are two primary components. One cannot do without the other. On one hand, you have the people and its project, right? And then on the other, you have the treasury. You can have a treasury worth $1 billion, but without people participating and building, right, that treasury will be worth nothing. Likewise, on the other hand, with all the people and its potential, but without the treasury, it will just be a gathering, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So no people and projects, no DAO. No money, no doubt. So a core part of what I'm proposing, right, is to protect the other half, which is the treasury, because, you know, funds, when there's money involved, you will have bad actors coming in, portraying as, you know, people who are here for the ecosystem, you know, here for community building and all that. That's what I want to protect.
So people who you don't believe are here for the right reasons are here to extract value without giving anything in return? Is that a fair way to say
it? Exactly.
Okay.
Yes. So in terms of, like, with you know, protecting the DAO with prudence and sensibility, right? I think in terms of prudence and sensible, we can put both components together and say that, you know, for example, if a project comes in, they demand too much for too little impact. Mm. Would it be sensible to fund them? You know, sometimes this kind of projects can sound good, right? It can say, you know, it can promise the heavens and earth, but, you know, it asks you, the author asks for $250,000 for such a project, and you end up with little to no impact. So yeah, that's what I intend to protect.
Okay. I think that is very clear. Very, very clear. Thank you. And for making unpopular votes, go ahead. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So, you know, a good example would be SIP1. I think that would be kind of like the... I hope... Okay, so let me make this clear. I hope that I do not need to make unpopular votes on a regular basis. In fact, I hope that, you know, with the model that we have right now with the sandbox down, we are able to filter out bad actors early on. And then we present feasible projects to the community for them to vote. But in the case where if the DAO team says, okay, look, this is our parameter, we, according to this parameter, we've checked on the project, everything checks out, you know, they come out for proposal. If I find that, you know, it might not be so suitable, I will, in an instance, vote no, even if the majority says yes.
What was that last bet? Even if the what says yes?
If the proposal comes out, if I don't feel comfortable with it, even if everybody is voting yes, I would not vote yes in support of it. It's just a belief thing, you know.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. You hear it? You heard it here first, folks. If the intern does not feel comfortable, they will not vote the same way as everyone else. And I think you could easily see that with the voting history, that the intern is not at all afraid of voting no. and it doesn't seem like it was like it's a punishment either. You just, on the ones you didn't feel comfortable, you voted no.
Yeah. So I think you drive a good point there. One thing I feel like is always commonly misinterpreted, right, is that sometimes if you vote no, you're voting against the order. Sometimes, most of the times, you know, if the proposal is without malice, it's just a proposal that doesn't sit well with whoever votes no. Don't take it too personally, you know, there's always a chance to come back with a resubmission.
Yeah, that's a fair thing to say. It can definitely feel personal. Like I have to fight that against myself whenever mine didn't make quorum. Like it felt personal that people didn't vote. Yeah. Not even just voted yes, but didn't vote at all. But then, you know, you kind of remind yourself that there's a lot of factors at play. It might not be because they don't like me or like me. It just might not have been the right thing for them to decide at the time.
Exactly. Or it could be just, you know, or at least something that I understand is there's revolt going on of, like, you know, not voting to vote no, right? To prevent proposals from hitting quorum, they decide, you know, not to vote so that, you know, the proposal doesn't hit quorum, and if it doesn't hit quorum, it doesn't pass, and then things go into a standstill.
Yeah, that's been happening for quite a while now, but now I don't think it's going to happen quite as often with each person getting 2 million.
I am optimistic.
Yeah. Let's
I
go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, no, I thought that I got chopped off.
Oh, no. And that 2 million changed the game. I wasn't expecting it. Were you expecting it?
No, not the slightest idea. All I was expecting, right, was just the opening with the opening of the delegation that allows anybody to delegate towards you. And then I was expecting more of that, you know, once the delegates are out, they will have to go on their own marketing campaign of sorts to get people, you know, to delegate to them, and then can consolidate those votes. And then hopefully with that amount of extra votes, right, the delegates can help push through projects that are feasible and good.
And have you heard about whether it's land or sand or not either?
I assume that it's a mix, because I think it comes from the main sandbox wallet. You know, the one that everyone has been
The 27 million one?
So upset about. Yeah, I believe. Was it 27 or 24? I can't remember.
Yeah, right now, when sandbox votes, they vote with 27 million voting power.
Okay, so I assume that it's coming from that wallet.
Okay.
Yeah, but they haven't given much details as to whether it is indeed from there.
Okay.
But honestly, to me, I don't think it's that relevant. Because anyway, the crux of the issue these few months has always been that Quorum hasn't been hit, and yet it upsets the community that the sandbox puts in their face to hit Quorum.
Yeah, that's been the source of disagreement as of late. And now that you know that this 2 million is here, does it change your thought process at all when it comes to voting?
Well, I think that right now you, at least for me, or even, you know, a majority of the delegates, you will feel this responsibility on your shoulders. Because now you're not just voting with your own VP, you're not just voting with people who may have delegated to you, but you're also voting with 2 million voting power as well. That's got to weigh on everyone's shoulders.
You said you're not just voting with delegated power, you're also voting with what?
Like, for example, right now there's this, so initially, right, the talk was just that you'll be using your own voting power as along with delegated VPs from, say, community members. But now, with that amount, you know, you have that 2 million VP that is stacked up on it. So the responsibility on our shoulders is much heavier.
Gotcha. So that responsibility increases. Yeah.
Yes.
Hmm. Do you think that it would change you to vote yes on something you would normally vote no or abstain on, or vice versa?
I don't know. I think at the end of the day, right, for me, the principles have become clearer. So right now, with that 3 points that I mentioned to you about, those are kind of like the driving principles that I will vote based off on. In the past, it's mainly, you know, reading through the proposal, asking yourself if it feels comfortable with you, then yes, no, abstain. Simple as that.
Got
right
it.
Now, you know, you have to go through this whole guiding principles and, yeah, think a little more clearly, a little more in depth.
Okay. And that makes sense to me. I was really interested after I saw that 2 million voting power being announced. What does that do to your thought process when it comes to the delegates? And I think you've laid that out pretty reasonably, that you feel that excess, that extra burden and responsibility. And I'm interested to kind of understand that as things unfold. How much does it change, if anything at all? Would you have voted no or yes on something without the 2 million? But now that the 2 million feels, you feel the responsibility of that, did something about that change your voting? I'm super curious to understand how that plays out over time.
If anything, right, I think with that added burden, I feel that I may vote more abstains.
Really?
Because
okay.
Because the thing is that sometimes with all these proposals, right, unless you get direct access to the authors, or the authors approach you to explain, you know, a breakdown, what's going to happen and everything, most of us are basing off our decisions on, right, it's a single proposal, a single worded proposal, right? The only thing that helps is if we go through interviews, you get to know the authors better, you get to know the reasoning behind it. So absent of all that, it's hard to make a good decision.
Yeah. And so that's where you're talking about the burden, the responsibility resting on your shoulders.
Yes, exactly.
So
you know, last time, if you're voting with a fraction of what that 2 million, or your own voting power, it will be a fraction of the 2 million. You will think that, oh, maybe it doesn't matter that much if I vote yes and it comes out like wrong, or, you know. But you would hope that the majority sees the truth, right?
Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
That is so fascinating. Right on. Thank you for exploring that with me, intern. I appreciate that. I was wondering how to approach that. So let's go with the type of SandFam voter that best fits your delegation style. What are your thoughts on that?
Best fit. That's a good question. I think people who can relate to what I see, to the 3 points that I mentioned about. I think those will be the ones, because, I mean, quite honestly, after seeing the voter profile of the past 15 SIPs, right, you can see quite a wide variety of voters. Some people vote because they feel that they love the proposal, regardless of how much it costs. Some people vote because of mainly the cost being a barrier. Some people just, you know, they vote based on ideals. So for me, I think mainly the crowd that I feel will be attracted to me will be the ones who prioritize costing, the finances. Does that make sense?
Yep. No, that makes sense. Those who prioritize costing and finances, especially when you talk about protecting the treasury.
Yes, exactly. Because at the end of the day, right, the treasury isn't infinite. Right, there is always a cap to how much we can spend before, you know, it runs out. So when it runs out, you know, it goes back to the point of me saying that if you have all the people and projects but no money, it's not a DAO anymore. It's a gathering.
It's a dream.
Yes, it's a dream, right? You will be dreaming of having this project and, you know, funding that proposal, but then you realize you open your wallet and you see nothing in
there. And there's nothing there.
Yes, exactly. Right? Yeah. And then when the right proposal comes along, you realize, oh, we don't have the money for that.
Right.
That
Got
would
it.
Be an injustice.
Oh, makes sense. So can you just recount back in your memory banks there, what was the delegate process like for you? Getting through from beginning to now.
Okay, so I think in terms of the delegate process for myself, but I think it differs a little with what most people would have experienced. In the beginning, right, there's the application for the delegate that's uniform across the board. Everyone has to apply through the formal process, right? They have to give details about themselves, their socials, their point of views and all that, etc., etc. And then I think in terms of the interview, right, because I do actually engage a lot on a consistent basis with the Sandbox team in Southeast Asia. So mainly George and Belinda, who handles Southeast Asia and Singapore respectively. So they kind of, I believe, vouch for my integrity. And with that, I think they kind of like endorsed me for the position.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that you know, I mean, honestly, if you ask me, like, interviews are great because you get to hear the other person. But even with interviews, right, you know, honestly, when we go for job interviews and all that, you tend to maybe not be 100% truthful. So the only way to really prove, right, is through regular engagements, you know, if you handle stuff, with you know, tied up together with the Sandbox team, they can see the way you perform, whether you can do it on time, whether you have integrity. Yeah, so I think that in a sense is it was that experience that you know, got me pushed through.
Gotcha. And how did they tell you? Was it via email or message or how?
You mean the results?
Yep. How did you find out that you made it?
Oh, I found out through the webpage.
Oh.
Same like everyone else. Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess, like, you know, when they announced it, right, everyone was like, oh, where is it? Then, you know, everyone found it through the Sandbox style delegation. There was no I don't think I received an email.
Gotcha. Yeah, when I did the interview process, I really thought that it was an extra layer of understanding and familiarity, getting to articulate why I wanted to be a delegate. And I got my response through email. So they sent me an email and they explained, here's why we didn't select you. And I thought that was really nice of them to do that. I did. At first,
like, you know,
I'm like, what
rejected,
do you mean
right?
you didn't choose me?
Nice,
but then I was like,
why?
Well, no, it I get it. So I appreciated that they took the time to write that to me.
Yeah, it definitely helps. At least, you know, you feel like it's closure, right?
Right. That's exactly right. It felt like closure. Felt like closure. I felt like they were being very open about it. And okay, even if I don't agree, it at that point, I get it. I understand.
Yeah.
So have you had to sign any additional agreements since becoming a delegate?
As of now, no.
Okay.
And I don't think they would want that, I would assume. Because they, you know, in light of the whole thing about like favoritism and sure. all that kind of sure. issues that people tend to imagine or tend to assume. I think signing any agreements would maybe feel like, you know, we are tied together with the DAO team. Even though obviously we are all in separate entities. We all have different beliefs and all that.
Thanks. Makes sense. And last question, yeah. Very important. Actually, sure. it just occurred to me as I was watching your wallet. Don't you have to get a .eth account? .eth name?
Oh, yes. Nope, I don't have one. I actually do have one main one. So it's the hiddenwalls.eth.
But you're not going to use that so to that be is, your delegate vote?
Yeah, or? I'm probably not using that. Because the thing is that with the... So like I said, because most of my lands are all segregated.
Yeah.
So using the... I've actually allocated this... The address that I've allocated for... as a delegate, it's actually also kind of like the main address that I use for mm-hmm. my land.
So are you going to get a new .eth name for your delegate wallet here?
Maybe. Who knows?
I thought I read that you had to have a .eth name in order to be a delegate. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I think the rationale behind it was that they want... So whenever you vote, right? Your name appears on the seat itself,
mm-hmm.
on the snapshot. That's what I think the rationale of having a .eth for.
But it just makes it easier for people to know that's who. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, exactly. So maybe we'll see.
So I think the thing is that with snapshot, right, you can actually key in your name under your profile, and I think that appears as well, if I'm not wrong.
Okay. So if you have to get one, you'll get one. If not, then it'll be the wallet address that's on the dashboard.
Yeah.
Okay. That is the last question we had, intern.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited? Are you excited to be a delegate and start delegating? Or whatever the verb is?
I am. So it feels like, even though, you know, we've only been what, a couple of months old or like a year old, but it does feel like we are in a new era. Delegation is always interesting.
It does feel like we've entered a new stage of the sandbox DAO. I completely agree with that.
And I think that honestly, if you ask me, delegation helps a lot because you know, going through the Decentraland DAO, right, you see that voter fatigue is very real. People want to engage, right? But it's hard for every single person, every single community member to, on a consistent basis, right, to be reading through proposals. It can get dry.
Gotcha.
Right. So people will still want someone, they will still want to be involved. They just want someone else to do the reading.
Yeah. Someone else do the TLDR and just... Yeah, just exactly. Read it,
break
TLDR
it down
to me. And...
Easily digestible. Yeah.
Yeah. Something I wanted to touch on before we start to close out is there was a recent Medium article on you just a couple days ago at the
the
Alpha Season 4 Creator Focus.
Yes.
Just a couple days. There was one sentence I wanted to ask you about. You said that building is a big part of your identity outside of your usual work, and it was a stress reliever. You mentioned earlier it was a stress reliever. So what about it is your... I think now that you say, talk about it being a big stress reliever, I think maybe I have my answer.
Okay, so you're looking for like the reason why I build?
Yeah. Like, why was it such a big part of your identity outside of your work?
Okay. Yeah. So I think that stress reliever would be in a nutshell description. And I think that a lot, you know, you see stuff like Roblox, you know, a lot of the developers, most of them start off with just a basic computer, you know, trying creative stuff, seeing what sticks, what interests them, and then they grow. Yeah, so I think it all boils down to that passion.
Makes sense. I feel the same thing whenever I create. I've written novels and composed music, and I feel that same. Sometimes it's a stress reliever, but most of the time for me, it's just a passion. It's like a urge to bring something out of it, and that's what it feels like to me. Yes. There's something there. There's something there I want to bring out into the world. It's just the process is so much fun.
It's like giving birth, except not to a baby.
Yeah. So that was the last question I had. Was there anything that you wanted to cover?
I think that's pretty much it. I think, let me... Yeah, so, okay, maybe this is something that I can dwell into. Something a little personal. I feel that now that for myself, I'm a delegate, my communication channels on X and Discord is always open to anyone and everyone. Including the authors as well. It's good to have authors, you know, reach out to the delegates, explain the rationale of their proposal, you know, be it in a group setting or, you know, even in individuals. And I'll just like to put it out there, you know, when I make decisions on as a delegate in the future, right, the initial decision is always based on the best of my knowledge. Right. So if the authors feel that something is not right, you know, they feel that maybe I can explain more, or even if community members feel that, oh, why do you vote yes? Maybe you should vote no. My communication channels are always open.
At the Hidden Walls X.
Yeah, at the Hidden Walls X. Or 1010 on Discord.
Or 1010 on Discord. Yep. Awesome. Well, thank you, intern. I appreciate that.
Thank you for having me too.
So there's something I want to make you aware of, and I'll send this to you on Twitter or however. So there's some spaces that people gather at specifically. You know about the Discord, which is the DAO discussion channel. You know about the DAO forums. You know about Twitter.
Yep.
You know about the YouTube channels. What you may or may not know about are the X and Twitter spaces that happen where a lot of SandFam, I say a lot, different collections of SandFam will gather. On Monday, there's the Mochaverse Hall, and that's, they'd mostly talk about Sandbox, and also they'll talk about ApeCoin DAO. Then there's Bulls on the Block on Saturday. They talk about Sandbox and ApeCoin DAO. They're also a landowner. They're a delegation, they're a delegate themselves for the ApeCoin DAO. Monday through Friday is Coffee with Captain. They're primarily ApeCoin, although if Sandbox delegates start showing up, they've talked about Sandbox in the past. And then there's Well members who, you know, they're one of the largest landowners. They just started up their DAO, by the way, and I'm working on a proposal with them to ensure that they vote on every single proposal in the future. So there might be some synergy there when it comes to us participating in their DAO and how your delegation or other delegates might be able to have a voice in that. Now that you have 2 million of your own. So now that you have 2 million of your own, it might not be such a big deal anymore, but in any case, they have a Twitter space on Tuesdays.
It's always good to listen in on what everyone's opinions are.
Yeah.
Good to have the exposure also, so that you can make better decisions.
They have a Twitter space on Tuesday, and I imagine that as things and proposals for SIPs start going through voting floors, there might be some interesting places where you can talk about your views on there and just more channels to communicate. But anyways, wanted to share that. And I think we're just about good here. Thank you. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate you. You taking the time to come do this.
No problem. And, you know, anytime you want to have a podcast, you know, maybe down the road, you can have a podcast with perhaps a few other of the delegates all at one go so that we can brainstorm and stuff.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's a good idea. I didn't think about that.
Right?
Like a delegate
panel. Thinking out loud. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, intern. Well, everyone, this is intern, also known as the Hidden Walls, also known as 1010, and big into prioritize the progress of the ecosystem and protecting the treasury with prudence and sensibility and making the unpopular vote when it's called for. And if that resonates with you, then please consider the intern as your delegate. And on the website, you'll see it as the Hidden Walls has the mutant ape profile picture. Intern, thank you so much for your time and hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye, SamFam.